Hello and welcome to Pop a la Carte number 104. This week we have the SAG Awards, bunch of news, Asian Drama Corner returns. I can't say that apparently. Asian Drama Corner returns.
Woo!
Yes. Whispers of the MCU, which is apparently we're going to call it until we think of something better. Yes, I don't know.
Our new segment, tentatively titled.
Did you want to talk about Crisis, by the way? Because we didn't talk about the end of Crisis.
Sure.
We
could do
that.
Oh, yeah.
End of Crisis.
I watched that.
Yeah. We all watched that. So it actually,
like, oh, my God. We can all talk about it.
We can actually all talk about it. And then we will round up with a little bit of TCA talk and my interviews with the two EPs of Vera, which is a BritBox show.
Whoa.
Yeah. All right. I am Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And I'm Angela.
So, news. I'm just going to start with the first one on my list, which is Fox No More.
Farewell, Fox!
Adieu.
Yeah. So, basically, Disney are dropping the Fox name, but they've only so far
confirmed the movie side, right?
Well, and it's not even all the movie side, because there's, like, yeah, no, it's Searchlight. It's just going to be Searchlight now. And then it's 20th Century Pictures, which everybody's like, why not just change it to 21st Century Pictures? But it's always been 20th Century Fox, so I guess that's why they're just like, we're going to keep it forever. I don't know.
I guess it was established in the 20th century, so it's fine.
Yeah. So those are going away. Mostly everyone assumes because Fox is now such a negative connotation because of Fox News being horrible.
And Rupert Murdoch, just,
also being horrible.
Yeah.
Being the reason that Fox News is horrible. Even his son, like, apparently recently said, like, Fox News is trash.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I don't even remember where I saw that, but... So, it's the end of an era. It's weird. I mean, we'll still get a fanfare, but it's not... What is it? It's the 20th century fanfare. It's
I know. It's kind of weird. Like, I understand, like, moving forward, you want to rebrand and, like, whatever, right? I don't really, like... Aren't the same people mostly... involved in Fox, so I don't know. It just feels like
In fact, they kept a lot of people at Fox, but then fired a lot of people at Disney. I think
And
some things. I guess it's probably a little bit of both.
Right, they probably rearranged on both sides.
Yeah,
but it's still like it's like you bought the company, so obviously you. So I don't know, but as long as they don't retroactively go back and change old ones, because I heard some talk about maybe doing that, and I was like, that would be really stupid.
No, don't do
that. They did that.
Don't do that. Just leave it as it is.
Yeah.
And then we move forward. And
without the Fox.
I still thought it was weird saying Star Wars without... Like, I was like, you bought Fox. Why didn't you just put the fanfare back? Because they don't need to. Yeah. Disney's distributing it, not Fox. But I'm like, but it feels wrong.
Exactly. It feels so empty. But yeah.
Yeah, which, like, by the way, I did see it. And...
Eh? So, you came out eh.
I came out eh. Anyway.
Well, that's better than came out, like, you know...
Yeah. It was dumb, but, you know, whatevs.
Yeah, like, what can you do?
Yeah, that's pretty much. The only thing that I didn't know going in, so that I was like, what the hell is this, is at the end when they're in the big arena of all the shadow, like, cloaked figures that I'm like, are they, like, ghosts of the Sith? Are they...
Yeah, what were they?
Are they just cultists? Like, what the hell are they? I didn't know that was there, and I was like, this is really stupid. And that's the moment I started to turn off, because I was like, now this is just really dumb. So, yeah. Anyway, everything else, I was like, yeah, whatever. It was dumb. Anyway, they did Leia better than I thought they would.
Yeah.
Most
of
that. Except when they actually killed her. Because that was just clunky. But, you know, when she walks away, the double walks away with Billy Lord, that was weird. Anyway. Sorry, wasn't supposed to talk about Star Wars, but I obviously had thoughts. Anyway, so, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people were really upset, and then nobody cares again. Like, within a day, it was like, uproar! Wait, we forgot. What were we uproaring about?
Yeah, I think it's just not, like, it feels weird, but it's just not something that really matters. So,
yeah,
in this, you know, not only 24-hour news cycle, but also just, like, there are things happening, like, literally right now. That matter more.
Yeah.
Like, unfortunately, perhaps.
I haven't been listening to NPR because I can't right now. What's it called? Yeah, no, I think the only thing that was weird was, didn't they just change part of the studio to, like, Fox Studios? Like, they changed the name?
Yeah.
As they bought them, and it was like, well, now what are you going to do with that?
Studios.
Movie studios. That's what we're going to call it. I don't know. It's the Fox lot in Century City. So what do we call that now?
The Century lot.
Century City lot. I don't know.
It's weird. Do you have thoughts, Angela?
No, because I don't really care about the name. So what? That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a rumor that National Treasure 3 is being made, speaking of Disney, because that's now a Disney property.
Oh,
or was it always? I don't even know.
Everything.
I know so many.
Safely assume everything is a Disney property.
Assume it's Disney and then be corrected later.
Exactly.
Yeah. Doolittle was not a Disney property, which I'm sure they're very happy about right now, because that bombs.
Oh my god.
That is instead the parent company of one of the companies I work for, which was I heard terrible things about that.
It was not, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad they didn't make that. Anyway, I know so many people who loved the first two National Treasures, and I was like, they were all right. I think I like them better now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of them was on recently, and I was like, oh, it's silly, but it's just kind of fun.
Yeah, it's a fun ride, right? Yeah. National Treasure was enjoyable. I don't know that I needed a National Treasure 3, but...
Apparently people really wanted it.
Yeah.
It's 12 years later, and people are, like, so excited.
It's a little, like, cult-like, you know,
classic
kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess so.
Yeah. Are you a National Treasure fan, Angela?
I'm apathetic as well to National Treasure. I guess, like, I mean, I would agree, though, that it's cult-like. I think that's why, like, people are excited. But the problem with, like, you being into a movie from that cult-like approach is that, like, you shouldn't want there to be more. Like, I don't know, because you can't... Whatever magic, quote-unquote, makes something the kind of movie that becomes a cult hit, can you really recreate that? Like...
True. That's true.
No, you can't.
Especially National Treasure. I mean, I have to say, of the people that are excited, what percentage of them like take that movie seriously? Yes.
I don't think any of them do.
And that's the thing. I was like, can you do that more than once? Especially with such long breaks in between? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would probably go and see it eventually. Well, no, I'm not even going to go and see it. I'm going to see it when it's on something.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely not something that I feel like I need to like wait in line for or even get assigned seats to, you know.
Yeah.
I'll be all right. But I do, like, I also think it's just, like, not a, like, if there was, like, a new, if it was just basically its own movie, like, National Treasure 1, you know, not actually, if it didn't already exist. Then it would just be, like, another film that's coming out. So I don't think it'll be, like, do any worse than, I don't know, Dora the Explorer, right?
Yeah.
So. It does seem like we're so obsessed with, you know, the, quote, nostalgia and, like, building on something that's already a recognizable property. Mm-hmm. But, like, you can sort of just slap the name on something and then just tell a totally unique story. Like, honestly, even all the Ghostbusters stuff, to me, it didn't bother me. I was like, people go out and they bust ghosts. That's it. That's the plot, right? Like, does it need to, but you have to put that name on it for, like, brand recognition, and that backfired on the new Ghostbusters. But, like, it's kind of the same thing. I was like, it's National Treasure, so people know that they're getting a National Treasure movie, but it doesn't have to have... It's just a heist movie. Like, right. It doesn't...
Honestly, I don't think people will, like, want it if Nick Cage isn't the lead, because, like...
Sure.
His ridiculous is part of what works with the ridiculousness of those films. Yeah.
It would be, it's kind of, I guess it's like, at the point, it's just like Indiana Jones, but Nick Cage is Indiana of it.
Pretty much, yeah.
What do they have left to steal?
What do they have left to steal? I don't remember what they stole previously. Did they steal the Constitution? It's the Declaration. Now they can steal the Constitution.
What was the second? No, one of them was the Declaration of Independence. What was the second one?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
I remember.
It left such a last. Was the second one the Constitution? It could have been. I mean, not. What else would you like work up to?
Maybe this one. It's like they have to put it back. That's why the president's in it, because.
So that can be Trump's excuse. Okay.
The Liberty Bell would be pretty impressive.
That's what I was
That'd
thinking.
Be fun. That'd be fun.
But that's kind of huge.
Yeah.
So
it'd be pretty hilarious.
Well, that would be the story. That's how do you do it? How do you heist a Liberty Bell? Like,
without anyone
That's
noticing.
Why it took 12 years to make, because they had to figure out how. And 12 years later, they're like, by George, got it.
Oh, jeez. Another movie that we know is getting made, and the only reason I'm going to talk about this is because I just find this amusing, is The Great Machine, which is based on the comic book Ex Machina, but you can't call it Ex Machina because they're putting Oscar Isaac in the lead, and he's producing, and he was already in a movie called Ex Machina.
Yep.
That's it. That's the joke.
When I heard about the fact that he was going to be in Ex Machina, I was like, wasn't he already in Ex Machina? And then everyone was like, thought it was so amusing. And I was like, why is it so amusing that he's just like going to be in a sequel of that one movie that he was in? I was like, oh, no, no. It's a totally different thing. I understand now. But yeah.
Because we were actually, like, when his movie Ex Machina came out, we were like, oh, that means they can never make the comic book, which is a really good comic book, or they're going to have to change the name. And then we were like, oh no, they really have to change the name because he's going to be in this one too.
Yeah. They could just, you know what's a cool title? Ex Machina in English. You could just call it that in English. I mean, of course, I'm always assuming it's Deus Ex Machina. Maybe it does not. It's not Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
But God in the Machine is a cool title that I feel like people should use.
That actually is a better title than The Great Machine.
Yeah.
So...
Do it! God in the Machine!
Who's making that? I don't even know.
I don't know either. Yeah. I have no idea.
I think Brian K. Vaughan is involved.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
Hmm.
So
what is that comic about? Machines, I assume?
Robots?
What'd you say? Robots?
Robots. Robots.
Robots. Okay.
That is my guess.
It's been so long.
Oh, really? Right? You're like, it's just good. I know it's good.
God, I think I read the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Matt has the whole thing. He's the one who loved it.
It's about Oscar Isaac being sexy.
Yeah. It's... They did make a, like, pilot for a TV series,
really?
We watched, which was really, really good. Honestly, it reminded me a lot of Blade Runner.
Okay, okay. All right.
The look, the feel of the pilot, and even the art. Yeah,
Interesting.
It's, okay. Yeah, if it's like what, yeah.
So Blade Runner type comic. Going to be made into a movie.
Very dark, futuristic.
Nice.
Dealing with, yes, the idea of
how human are
humanity
robots.
And, yeah, there you go.
How robot are humans.
I actually wanted, I was thinking recently, because somebody put the art up, and I was like, oh, I want to read that again, because like, I don't remember any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I should read a lot of the comics that I know I love, but I'm like, I can't really remember what to tell you that they were.
Right.
I'm terrible at remembering things.
Like that.
Like, I was like, oh, I want to read Planetary again, because literally all I remember about Planetary is they're time-traveling superhero archaeologists.
That is a great premise.
Which is, why has nobody made that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's all I remember. I was like, I loved it at the time, but I'm like, I don't remember any of the story. I don't even remember any of the characters.
Wow.
It has been
a little bit for you. Oh, wow. You got to get back on that.
Yeah.
And now you can with certain places like Comixology.
Who send me emails every day. Yeah.
Please read our comic.
Yes. Yeah. So The Great Machine, you know, AKA Ex Machina, AKA we can't say that because Oscar Isaac already did that movie.
But he was that valuable.
Yes. Moving on.
Oh.
It is award season.
Yes.
So last time we talked about awards that were nominated for, or movies that were nominated for things.
Yes.
Because the Oscars.
Mm-hmm. Now.
Now there was an award show actually this week. Actually, there were two.
There were PJs. And also there was the Eddie Awards, which is the editing awards.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. Yeah. You know, I'm like, I don't know that life, the editing life. But, but yes, I was very excited because Parasite won Best Outstanding Cast. So, which is kind of the equivalent of Best Picture. Woo, yes! Although, we have to say that the Screen Actors Guild winners does not often, or not often, still often, just not mostly predict the Oscar Best Picture winner, right?
Yeah.
It puts it in the race, because the 4-year, like, well, it's definitely not going to win. But since it won that one, which we did not think it would win, that makes it more likely, but PGA's is still the one that most often predicts.
And that went to 1917.
That went to 1917, yes. And it's also especially because PGA's does the preferential voting. Mm-hmm. So it's like one, you just list 1 to 10. Mm-hmm. And then it's like the one that has the most ones or whatever, or, you know, like most combined. And the Oscars just switched over to that as well.
Oh, yeah.
So that makes 1917 more likely as well.
Have you seen both of them?
I have seen both of them.
I have not seen either. Because I haven't seen any of the Oscar Best Picture nominees.
I thought 1917, but... I mean, 1917 is definitely a good movie. And directing wise, it's, you know, interesting. Because it wasn't really one shot. It wasn't actually a one shot movie, but they keep calling it that.
Yeah. It's made to look like it's one shot.
It's made to look like one shot. It is not. But
there is a difference.
Yeah.
But everybody would be dead if they had tried to do a one shot movie.
Of 1917. But it did take a lot of effort, I am sure. So yes, Sam Mendes, you know, I support you getting awards for it. And it's also interesting that both Parasite and 1917 didn't get any acting awards. Or nominations, rather.
Oh yeah, neither of them did for the Oscars, did they?
Parasite because of racism.
Yeah.
And and 1917 because it's like literally all about, how did Sam Mendes do the directing of this? You know,
I don't even know who's in 1917. Although that somebody said
Tommen.
Huh?
Tommen
is in it. Okay. Yeah. The only person I know is in it is that Colin Firth is in it at some point, because somebody pointed out that any movie that Colin Firth is in that gets nominated for the Oscar wins Best Picture.
Oh well, there you go.
So and they were like, and he's in 1917.
So there you go. There are other, I guess, like at this point, even telling you the other famous names that appear in the movie is a spoiler in and of itself, right?
I got spoiled on one the other day, but yeah.
Because like that's...
Because they made a joke about how they had that actor just sitting there for 6 months.
Yes.
While they filmed the one.
Yes. Yeah. They're playing the one take. The one take. The actor's just sitting there, camping out, waiting for their turn. But yeah, because there are several like cameos. They are really cameos. They're like, you get one scene at most.
Yeah.
If you're not the two dudes. Tommen and the other dude. I don't know the other dude. But anyway.
Sorry, other dude.
Yeah. Anyway, point is that, like, if 1917 won Best Picture, I'd be fine with it. But, like, I really, really just want Parasite to win not foreign language awards.
Not only
foreign. Exactly. Of course, it has to win foreign language.
It's going to... How weird would that be?
If it won Best Picture, but not foreign language. I was like, you were just the best. You surpassed...
Well, everybody would assume that then it was racism that led to the best foreign language not being nominated for.
Right. Yeah,
it would be exactly. Some cycle. Like, there would still be racism, basically.
Yes.
It's just a different
bottom line, racism will still exist no matter which way, matter what happens. But yes, so this does make Parasite have more of a fighting chance, especially because, like, they got a standing ovation, not just when they won. Like, they won and they got standing ovation. When they came out just to present their movie at the beginning, that everyone stood up and cheered for them.
Aww,
so I was like, oh.
Does that not usually... I don't pay attention to award shows. Does that not usually happen?
It depends on what it is. It doesn't usually happen. Yeah. It's usually...
It didn't happen that night. They didn't stand up for anyone else.
Yeah.
Okay.
You might get it for, like, whoever wins the Lifetime Achievement Award. Everybody usually stands up for that person. But... No, it's usually pretty rare that, you know, or like when DiCaprio finally won.
When it's like something like really, exciting, basically.
And when Brad Pitt won at the Golden Globes, or no, he presented at the Golden Globes a couple years back, right after the breakup with Angelina Jolie. And that was Hollywood being like, fuck you, Angelina Jolie.
We support you, Brad.
We support Brad.
Yeah.
There's usually something behind it.
Right.
So no, it doesn't happen very often. No.
Yeah, I did, for all it. It's just funny because I think I've seen a lot of things talking about the irony of, like, people in Hollywood applauding Parasite.
Like, given... What do you think it means? What do you think it means? What? I mean, who do you think is the Parasite?
But yeah, I feel like the actors are the right people who would, usually, because they're usually, not always, I'm not going to pretend they all are, but usually a bit more, it's usually a bit more diverse.
Mm-hmm.
The group, especially because the SAG Awards is just everybody. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the people who have been nominated for the award.
Right.
It's
all everyone who's exactly so everyone who's in some way. Yeah, and there's plenty of people within the acting industry who are being stepped on and you know. And
I was thinking about it more in relation to the Oscars. Like, we wanted to get all this Oscars acclaim, but it's kind of like it would be a little funny.
The Oscars committee isn't necessarily going to agree with the acting union.
The Oscar committee who gets to vote for the best picture, because it's everybody in the Oscar Academy mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. still like, I think it's still like at least 75% white male.
Yeah. And old.
As much as they've tried to add people, mm-hmm. because it used to be you only got added if you won an award or won or were nominated for an award, or you had some amazing achievement.
Right.
It was usually, but now they're adding people left and right because they're just like, we just need diversity. So, yeah. But the people they're adding are still mostly the actors.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The diversity. Yeah. That's still where, you know, as little diversity as we see. That's yeah. still where the majority of it is.
But Song Kang Ho, that's his name, right? Song Kang Ho is the older, the dad in yes. the movie?
Yes.
Yeah. So he was the one that accepted the award, right? Or uh-huh. spoke on behalf of the cast. And he did say, I thought that what he said was smart, which is that even though the movie's called Parasite, I think it's about how we can all coexist together. So it's like, yes, what a great way to suggest that that's what...
Well, I do wonder, yeah. like, if... I'm curious what he actually said. I mean, I'm not saying that isn't more or less what he said, but I do know that, like, I read something by, like, a native Korean speaker looking at how in the Golden Globes acceptance speech, what the director said was actually a little bit softer right. than the way his translator did it. So that makes me, like, wonder, like how much she maybe not quite editorialized, but just, right. like,
but it, like
she was, like, not pulling any punches with...
You know?
Well, that actually made me happy that they had him give it, because you could have had Chua Woo-sik do it, because he yeah, is fluent in English. But they were like, no, you're going to, like, hear us say it in Korean.
Right.
And that made me happy.
And also, like, I was telling my friend, because we were watching it together, and it was funny, because I was like, if Parasite doesn't win, I'm going to be so mad. She's like, you know it's not going to win. Like, why would you even say that? And I'm yeah. like, excuse yourself, I was silly mad. And then it won, but we just, like, turned on, like, at the very end. Right?
Yeah.
And then we went back and we watched the replay. And as we were watching the replay, when they came out and there was a standing ovation, she's like, well, if we had been watching this, I would have known they were going to win. Like, not my fault that I didn't think they were winning.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of it.
So.
I do totally feel like Bong Joon-ho, like the proud dad. Like, just because, I don't know, like, I've watched all of them, basically, for years and all sorts of things. And now I'm like, look at you.
My baby's all grown up.
Ooh, what other casts were nominated?
For Best Picture?
Best Ensemble.
Bombshell was nominated, right? Yeah. The only reason, at first I was like, 1917 got shut out, but the only reason it wasn't is because it was too late of a release.
Oh, okay.
So it did not meet the cutoff for SAG, but it did for Oscars, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
So aside from that one, what else? Not Joker, because Joker's just fucking Phoenix, doing whatever he does for 90 minutes. What else was nominated? Ford versus Ferrari.
Little Women
was not nominated, but it was nominated for. It did have like two nominations, acting nominations. Florence and Saoirse. Maybe Little Women was though. Maybe I just forgot. I don't think so because I don't remember them even coming out to present the movie. So I don't think so. There's so many more movies. Why am I dumb? Huh?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yes, of course. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Not Knives Out, which I was very surprised about.
You'd think so.
Yeah.
That movie is made by the cast.
Right.
Like, the script is okay,
mm-hmm.
but it's the cast that made that movie.
I just remember I was thinking it was going to go to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and I was just going to be annoyed all over again. Not that I disliked it, I just don't think it's deserving of all of the accolades. I feel like they were like, Quentin was like, I sold my soul. I made a movie about Hollywood. I made a movie about movies, about how great movies are. Hollywood is the best. Give me my award.
Give me my awards because yes. I like gushed about you.
Exactly.
Especially because he just apparently has confirmed that he is stepping aside mm-hmm. to, like, he's not going to make a Star Trek movie.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
The other two were Jojo Rabbit and The Irishman.
Thank you. Jojo Rabbit and The Irishman. Okay. There we go.
Because he wants to spend more time with his family, which, you know, fair.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Laura
Dern still won for Marriage Story, and I'm still like, and I know she's going to win the Oscar, and I'm like, why? What is happening? I love Laura Dern as much as the next person, okay?
I mean, Laura Dern is amazing.
Exactly.
But she...
For Marriage Story?
Yeah.
It's like, weird. Come on. At the very least, nominate her for Little Women, and then I'll be fine. You know, like, okay, cool.
That's so weird.
It's a different side of Marmee. Cool.
It's like they want to acknowledge Little Women as little as possible.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, look, she was in something else.
Exactly. We'll do that one. My friend was like, she was like, I think this was all, like, the actors were all thanking their divorce lawyers. in their nomination on Laura Dern. Thank you for everything you've done for me. When I voted for Laura Dern, I was thinking of you.
So they had that in there. They were like, wow, that's really what my divorce attorney was like. She did such a great job.
Exactly. She really captured the magic. Anyway.
Oh, Jesus.
So, yay, Parasite. I hope that you get, at the very least, I want it to get, you know, like, best director, if not best picture. You can get best editing. They did a good job with the editing. Best screenplay. Just all the awards.
But if 1917 wins, you'll be okay with
it. I'll be okay
with it. Matt and I are figuring we're going to go see it out this weekend.
Well, good. Yeah, it's enjoyable. It's a good movie. I don't know if it was enjoyable, but it's a good movie. My dad was
there's
so
mad. Difference.
I saw it with my dad, and he was like, why did we watch that? And I was like, you like war movies. He's like, I don't need upsetting things right now. I need happiness.
See, and that is the problem. Do I yeah. want to see that?
No. It's a story.
Yeah. So it won't be like last year where everybody was like, really? We knew you were going to give it to Green Book, but fuck you for giving it to Green Book. Because.
Yeah. No,
it was. At least the probable front runner, right. It would be deserving.
It's just I feel like Joker would be that.
Joker would be the one like, where everybody's just like, that's it. The Oscars are done.
This is so stupid.
Please just don't give it to Joker. Please.
Exactly. Please don't give it to Joker. I'm sorry. All I ask. That's right.
None of us have seen that movie. I'm just like, please just don't award that kind of movie making. Yeah. Although, I did see that Joaquin Phoenix won, which obviously was not. And that he mentioned he pledged at the end.
Yes, he did. He did.
That was
very sweet. Yeah, that is very sweet.
And I like what he's been doing with his speeches.
I agree. I have no issue with him as an actor. And I think that's the one award that Joker deserves.
Yeah.
If you're going to give it an award, that one.
Give it that one and then stop.
Exactly.
Just
no more.
Stop,
no
where,
more.
Stop where you're head.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of DC things,
mm-hmm.
I think it's time to talk about Crisis.
Ha-ha!
Which was a
it was. Okay. It collapsed in on itself. I like the multiverse.
Yeah, I don't. That was not good.
No. I thought it started out strong. The first three episodes were good, and then the last two were like.
I actually think I liked last year's crossover better.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was so they obviously hid the finale now for a reason, we see. I was always wondering why didn't they put it together. It was like, oh, they knew it stunk, and they're just like, maybe some people will forget.
The only good thing was the Ezra Miller cameo.
Right. I mean,
which was good, but it was good and bad.
Oh, really?
It was weird.
Oh, it was
because it didn't make sense to do it then.
Right.
But did you see like Mark Guggenheim talking about how it came about?
I thought the WB was the one that actually.
Yeah. So after they wrapped all of Crisis, mm-hmm. Arrow was finished. Everybody left. Mm-hmm. The WB or Warner Brothers Studio Pictures called them and were like, "So we know you're wrapped, but do you want to put Ezra in this?" And they were like, and Mark Guggenheim was like, "Yes." And I said, but you're wrapped. How are you going to do it? And it's like, why did you fucking call it? That's your
response.
Didn't think
that we could do it, then.
And he was like, we can do it. So they basically, I guess he said that their first thing, though, was they called Grant to make sure he was okay with it.
Mm.
And he was the one who was like, yes. And then, they flew Ezra up there. And he's like, I don't know how nobody knew. Nobody reported on the fact that he was
in
Vancouver.
I was like, did they spend all of their budget on paying off the paparazzi so the paparazzi wouldn't say he was there?
I know. Nobody knew. And, they took some crew from The Flash, obviously, to because everybody from Arrow was gone.
Yeah.
And they filmed that scene. I got spoiled on it before.
Oh.
I know. I was like, And that's why I was like, Matt, we need to watch it, like, now, because otherwise we're going to get spoiled. And he's like, but why? He's like, I don't care. And I'm like, no. And then it happened, and he's like, that's what you got spoiled on, wasn't it?
Oh, so you hadn't told him.
I didn't tell him.
Oh, that was nice. That was cool.
I was like, there's something you're going to get spoiled on. Let's just watch it as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. And then we realized we had forgotten to record it, because it's two shows that we don't watch. And so we had to download it, and then we watched it right away. And he was like, okay, besides that, this was, I'm not sure why we made a point of watching this, but okay, at least it was a surprise.
Yeah.
No, I liked one other thing. I liked the one tiny scene of Osric Chow with his baby daughter.
Yes!
I just liked it. I liked him holding her with her little head. I was like...
I liked the way they brought back baby Sarah.
Yes.
Because I saw that, too, and I was like, so what, they're going to replace the kid again? But by making them twins, I was like, that's a really good way to do it. Yeah. And you got both of them. It's fine.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
That's, yeah.
That was I liked it as well. That was good. I also, I just like the end in general, just like that you see that there is still a possibility of the multiverse. Mm-hmm. That you see, you know, like Wonder Twins, like Gleek, like whatever. Like all the, like, they threw like every single possible, like last second shout out that they could.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's nice. But other than that, like, even the Arrow episode was like, oh, okay. Like, you just ended it with Oliver dying, and then you reset the multiverse,
yeah.
and you find out how it was reset in the respective shows. That would have been fine. Like, yeah. okay. It's like an acceptable ending. Not the super exciting, but fine. But then the Legends episode was just like, why did it exist?
I know. I don't know what the hell the point of that was.
It did not justify its existence.
In fact, can I actually ask... about the possibility of the multiverse still thing. So, like, is it just that all of the universes that they knew about are all one,
exactly.
but there could be other ones with the other, now, more ancillary DC shows? They're like, well, those are the multiverse now.
Right.
But the one... Exactly. Okay. Okay.
So, our, like, the one, our Earths combined.
Yeah.
Earth 38 and Earth 1 are now Earth Prime. So there's that. That's one Earth.
Black Lightning's Earth 2.
Black Lightning's now Earth 1 to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was three.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. But, whatever yeah. Earth that was.
Yeah.
I don't think they even gave it a number. But now it is same Earth. But then at the end they show all these other things that can't possibly all be happening on Earth 1.
And so we're assuming that all of the Earths that they showed us destroyed are back. Like Smallville Earth is back. And Birds of Prey Earth is back. And Earth 2? Like, is everybody from Earth 2 still dead?
Smallville Earth still exists.
Yes.
Somebody asked about that specifically.
Right.
Even though they didn't show
So some of those still exist, but not necessarily all the Earths. And right now, the characters think the multiverse is gone. The characters don't know it exists.
Oh, okay.
They think it's still just one Earth. Like, in fact, the Supergirl episode is about how it's just one Earth now. And people were like, clearly the writing is, like, the writers don't communicate with each other because we know that there's still a multiverse. And Mark Guggenheim said there's still a multiverse. And yet Supergirl is saying there's only one Earth. And Mark Guggenheim's like, just because the characters don't know doesn't mean it's bad writing. Like, we know the characters just don't know.
Yeah. I mean, so, all they can see is what happened. And they're all on the same Earth now. So they just assume that it all collapsed onto one Earth.
Right, exactly.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. And like,
well, I mean, I wonder about Earth 2, because the Flash has multiple characters from Earth 2.
Well, either it will have come back on a different frequency, which they haven't found yet, because that's what Brainy in Supergirl episode, he's like, none of those frequencies are known anymore, right? All those frequencies are gone. So unless there's an Earth hiding on a different frequency, which obviously means that is what's happening, there is no more multiverse. So it's possible that they just came back on a different frequency. Or it's possible that literally all of those characters evacuated to another Earth that now exists.
But if Smallville Earth is still there.
Yeah.
And they found that. They found Smallville Earth earlier in the crisis, but Brainy is like, we don't have these frequencies. So, like, yeah. I think they choose to believe they can pop anybody back up now. Okay.
So, wait. Did they found Smallville Earth in the episode itself?
Well, no, earlier in crisis. That's so they got there because they went and talked to...
Oh, yeah, but that's because it was a known Earth.
Okay.
So they already knew there were 52 Earths.
Okay.
So those are the Earths they knew about. But obviously there are more than 52 Earths.
Yeah.
And we even know that in previous episodes because they'll be like, Earth 99! And you're like...
Mark Guggenheim has specifically said that Smallville Earth is back. Like, it's fine.
He said that off, because people off, not in the show.
But it was a no.
Yeah.
So within the world of Supergirl, they're saying all the other known Earths are gone because they're not on a frequency we know.
Yes.
Exactly. But that means that if Smallville Earth was an Earth that they knew existed, and Guggenheim is saying it still exists, it means it's still out there somewhere, but on a different frequency.
Exactly.
And so we can use that logic to say Earth 2 is still out there.
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
So any Earth that you want to assume is still out there, you can just assume is out there on a different frequency until you are proven wrong. And you could never be proven wrong, because it could always be on a different frequency.
Lots of frequencies out there.
Exactly.
I would complain about having to deal with Lex more, but I guess if they are going to have a Lois and Clark show, you kind of have to have...
Right, you want to have Lex.
You have to. I hate him.
Not at all. I mean, I obviously hate him as, like,
person. That Lex, or specifically, or Lex in general?
I think... I just hated him in Crisis. Like, I didn't know why he was there, and I didn't want him to be there, and I wanted him to go away. And now, instead of him going away, he's, like, more. And I was like, why?
We could have had two Brandon Routh walking around. Why didn't you just give us two Brandon Routh?
True. But I get, I'm sure that Supergirl wanted to incorporate that plot line.
Yeah.
It was basically, essentially what, I mean, we saw that in Crisis, right? Essentially what Lex did was make himself the hero of.
Yes.
Yeah,
because he was like, "Oh, I like being a hero."
Yeah.
I did say that that is a very that was well done in terms of like character motivation that like fits with what they've established. Like,
yeah, and they're like, just taking full, you know, advantage of that in the second half of the Supergirl season. So that's why he was in Crisis. Obviously, we don't necessarily care about him, but yeah. I think
John Pryor is fine. Like, he's doing very good. I was just like, he and sometimes you want to love to hate a villain. I was just like, I don't go away.
like I'm done with you.
Yeah, everything is a Supergirl episode. Supergirl in the Legends episode just ran foul, falls to me. Just like, why do we need another Bebo? Why do we need fake Bebo?
Yeah, that was weird. It was just so it was just to have Bebo because he's cute,
right? Because
he sells toys.
It honestly felt to me like the Legends writers. Like, before I thought, like, they weren't treated well, like, being treated well because, like, they were being booted out of the crossovers. But now I see that they don't want to be part of the crossover. And this is, like, they were forced to be in this crossover. And they were like, we're going to make you regret that.
Let this serve as a warning to you. Do exactly. not do this.
Never, ever make us do this again.
Seriously.
So, like, just... Everyone who was not one of the Paragons have to be individually woken up.
Yes.
Now.
But don't worry, it happens off screen.
It's all happened.
Exactly. They already all got woken up.
Yeah.
Okay.
John Jones did that, like, you know, universe tour of just touching people's foreheads to make them remember everything.
Poor John is just like, they have to do this because he's too powerful otherwise.
Yeah.
But it's
he also gets to like be like, you're important enough to know. You're not important enough to know. You're important enough. You're not.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay.
To choose. This is what I'll do. I'm going to tour. I'm going to get some sightseeing done, and I'll.
So yeah, but yeah. So it was that. It just ends with whimper, not with a bang.
Yeah. It just didn't make me want to watch the shows again.
Nope.
Not again. Mm-hmm. Even though I was like, part of me. At first, I thought, you know, with the part where the Supergirl's fighting the one villain,
mm-hmm.
and it turns out it's the Flash's villain. He's like, oh,
that was
fine.
Yeah.
That was cute, and I was like, I feel like I should want more of this.
Oh.
Don't care.
But I did
it
like...
it still won't happen.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not gonna happen very often. The Marv Wolfman cameo was really cute, though. The old man, he's the writer of Crisis.
Oh, yeah,
the,
yeah.
The original Crisis comic. And he comes in, and he's like, yeah, oh, Matt yeah, was like, he's obviously this important. Guy, and this guy, and that guy. Yeah, that was fun. That was cute.
Yeah.
But I will say that this, again, Legends has failed me again. Again. I don't know, we have to resent Legends. So, not only was Iris not in the crossover, and Mark Guggenheim in that part of the crossover,
yeah. I mean,
and Mark Guggenheim essentially was asked, like, why weren't Iris and Cisco in the crossover?
I know,
Cisco's got his powers.
I was like, Cisco has his powers back, why isn't
and
he there?
Iris should be the most important person to Barry. She should be the first person that Barry looks for in the new universe. And he was like, well, you know, it's just because we have to pay the actors to be in the episodes, so there's certain things we needed. So therefore, we couldn't pay those actors. I was like, but you could pay Danielle to just stand there. What did Danielle do in the episode? Why did you have to pay her? Why was she the person that Barry was like, hey, what's up? I see that you are here in Star Labs also. So
I could take that first scene, like, fine. Like, because he went to the med bay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Caitlin lives there. It's fine. But, like, then later when they're watching the president's speech, and he's, like, watching it with Caitlin, and I'm like... Like, I think I told you, I was like, there is no universe that makes sense where, like, Barry doesn't wake up and immediately start screaming for Iris. Like,
especially
I hate him, the paragon of love. Like, that's his motivation, and it just doesn't, and it's especially, again, they did not put everybody in a room together. Like, I know that's probably a very big room for the writers of all these shows, mm-hmm. but, like, on the one hand, I don't want to complain that they got so much more of their relationship at the beginning of the crossover, but on the other hand, that's especially jarring tonally.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
He leans right into it at the beginning and then just it
he
doesn't
even
exist.
Know he exists in this one, like in that scene with Sarah, which was great for Sarah, you know, mm-hmm. when she's talking about how, like, no one except for her mother, who apparently does not matter in this world, remembers what she was like before. Right,
yeah.
And that's why Oliver's death hurts so much.
Yeah.
I was like, that's great. And then Barry's like, I too have lost people. my mother, my father, and then I stopped losing people. Definitely didn't lose my daughter earlier this season. She definitely did not just die. I have no reason to bring that up. So I'm like, okay.
Hello? Crossovers have spun so much around Barry and Iris's relationship. You had their wedding, and then you had, like, his whole motivation in the previous crossover was to, like, switch bodies back because he was too jealous. Like, it doesn't... It just... I was like, why? Like, you need somebody. You have to have somebody who is overseeing all of this for cohesion. When you're writing a group report, like, you should have somebody make it cohese
together. Yeah, make it coalesce.
Oh,
no.
Together, like, you know, instead of just being totally, why?
Yeah. I can't believe that the actors wouldn't have just taken, like, a really quick, like, it's a 30-second shot.
Right.
Just pay them, ask them, can we just pay you, like, less. A tiny bit for this?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
or can we just film it in the while you're filming the previous episode? Just come in and be like,
yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Green screen. Come on. Yeah. It would be shitty, but, you know, whatever. Green screen. Man, there was really bad special effects on that episode. The last two episodes, by the way. I was like, whoa, those are fake. Every time that everybody was flying around,
they ran out of their budget there.
Yeah. That's why they couldn't afford Iris San Francisco.
I think, part of it is I think, like, they clearly didn't really have much of a script beforehand. Yeah. And, you know, what's his face was not lying when he said that. My thought was a bomb. There wasn't a script. But, so they didn't have much of a script. It was based on the cameos. Yeah. And the first half had plenty of cameos.
Yeah.
So it was, like, felt, like, rushed. And then this one didn't have that many cameos.
No.
Suddenly you were like, wait, there's no story. In between the cameos, nothing's happening.
What is the point of this?
Exactly.
I understand. Yeah.
So. Oh, well.
Shout out to, like, the shot. When they were showing the multiverse of Brandon Routh's Superman flying to the John Williams music, that was sweet.
That was.
Actually got shown that by somebody before.
Oh,
but yeah, I forgot about it, and then I was like, oh, that's right. But yeah, it was. I was like, oh, that was sweet. And everybody's like, okay, make another movie with him, please.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what came out of it. Everyone came out of that being like, okay, so Brandon Routh is an excellent Superman, and we need more of that.
Yes.
No offense to Tyler Hoechlin, but he got outshone this crossover.
He did, actually.
On the Superman front.
Oops. That's why they had to put Lex in there, because
yeah.
You put Brandon Routh, Superman, and Tyler Hoechlin, be like,
like, wait a second.
One of these is better than the other.
Exactly.
And it's not the one you're keeping. Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah, so it was all right. Yeah. But yeah, I don't need to watch the shows anymore. I did hear somebody say, though, that this is kind of sort of related, but not really, that they feel like the way that this season of Legends is being set up almost feels like a Constantine season 2, and they could see him being spun off to his own series again. And I was like, please, please, that's all I care about.
That would be really funny.
That's literally the only thing I care about, and I will watch that show.
I mean, at the very least, if not that, Legends is already becoming like the Constantine show. Constantine and Friends. So,
really?
Yes.
I just, yes. Yeah. Give me that. That's all I want.
Anyway. All right.
Yeah, moving on from the crisis to the whispers of the MCU. let's see. What do we want to start with?
Rumors,
and more rumors. So Patrick Stewart apparently at some point met with Kevin Feige to discuss Professor X. But it's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
So... it's nice. Like, did Feige meet with him just to be like, okay, but we don't really want to go there anyway? Like, was it a professional courtesy?
Right.
Because it's Sir Patrick Stewart, and you're like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Or was it officially an official meeting, or were they just like, let's hang out?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was like, I think he even, Patrick Stewart said something like, discuss like what movies I could appear in or whatever. But
I mean, on the one hand, I would like to see some good X-Men movies again. But on the other hand, I feel like they need to stop for a while. There's too much. I don't understand what's happening anymore. I don't understand what the timelines are anymore. I don't, like...
That's why it's probably best that we just don't use anything from those movies.
Right.
Yep.
As much as I love Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen's great, too. Like, and I even, you know, I like First Class a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you know, they ruined it. Before they ruined it by making it all the same, like when it was actually a reboot, when mm-hmm. it felt like it was actually a reboot, that was great. Anyway, so like there are a lot of actors I like in the roles, but it's like I think you're just better off fresh start.
Yeah.
No, and it's not like he's the only one who can do it. Like, that's the thing. Like,
well, the only one that's going to do it is going to be Deadpool.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, he's not the only person who could ever play Charles Xavier. Like, they could find it's hard because if it's too fresh in people's memories, it's, like, tricky. Like, how many times they need, you know, we wanted them to stop rebooting Spider-Man. They should stop doing that now. You know, they've got it. So, but... I don't know. I feel like they could also just wait for a little while to do more X-Men, and everybody's excited. Like, the Disney Marvel juggernaut is not going anywhere.
I think there's a good chance of X-Men characters showing up, mm-hmm. but not being the X-Men.
Yep.
Like individually showing up.
Yeah. Unless you do something where part of what, like, I think I talked about it last week, where part of what Wanda does is it's a reverse of the No More Mutants thing, and she's creates mutant. And
which is a great idea.
And she you could have her, I don't know, does she create them new and they're, or they just always existed in this universe and so there is a team? Or do you have them bring them in from another universe?
Right. And creating them new would give you time. Right?
Yeah.
You show it, you give people amp, and then you still have a couple of years before you have to be like,
yeah.
The first mutant actually tries to, you know, do something mutiny.
Yeah.
So that would be my vote. But in the quote, like, or in the interview, Patrick Stewart said that they had long talks and that there were in fact movies and suggestions about how, like, movies in which he would appear and suggestions about how he could appear. Oh, but that he said he would not be interested in not that he's not interested in Professor Xavier being in the movies, period, but that he would not return because Logan felt like the correct ending.
Yeah, he said, I saw him say something like, if he hadn't done Logan, then yeah, but that feels like the way to leave it.
Which makes sense. Because that was definitely, obviously, the definitive ending for his character. Of course, it's set in the future, so... But then, if you were to put that in, you know, you'd have to expect the MCU to be working towards that.
Yeah.
Or else you're saying, like, oh, well, that's not relevant anymore. And then either one is not, you know.
Yeah.
We don't want either of those.
I think it's best just to... Like, you can use some of those actors in other roles. There's no reason they... I mean...
Exactly.
Know, we're repeating people over and over again in the MCU. Mm-hmm. So why not be like, all right, so we really like Patrick Stewart.
Yeah. Let's we already have
put him as this other person.
Exactly. Instead. We already have a different Quicksilver, so there's no reason not to have the same actors playing different characters in the MCU, right?
Yeah.
So,
speaking of another rumor of people playing more roles in the MCU, because everybody's just gonna, I'm gonna guess. Well, who's the biggest role that is playing a double? I guess it would be Gemma Chan.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because. Her character, whatever that character's name was,
Minerva had a name.
Yeah, and was there several scenes, even though she was like not, she could have been more relevant.
Yeah.
So that's probably the biggest one, yeah.
But Michelle Yeoh, who played one of the original Guardians of the Galaxy, so like the Guardians that we know are not the ones that were the original Guardians of the Galaxy in the comic books. Mm-hmm. So she plays one of the original Guardians of the Galaxy from the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
But she's only in, what, two scenes?
Yeah.
It's really just, I mean, and the main thing she's in is the Yondu
plotline.
Like, his funeral thing.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is she even in another scene?
I don't think so.
Actually, I think she's just in that. Because that's the only time that you see them all together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that may be it. I can't remember.
So it's like, essentially a cameo.
So, yeah. So now she is rumored to be in Shang-Chi, which, I mean,
would be awesome. Yeah.
She's Michelle.
Yeah.
So everybody wants her in everything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Doctor Who's gotten away with it before.
Yep.
True.
So, you know.
Why not? Sure.
Because there's only 5 actors in the U.S. So, you know, yeah. So, yeah, let her do it.
Let her do it.
But it's a rumor. It's not confirmed. No, she was there. No. No, that was somebody else. We're getting confused.
Yes, that's
which,
somebody else whose name I can no longer remember is definitely going to be in Falcon and Winter Soldier. But people were speculating that perhaps it'll lead to the Thunderbolts. Thunder, is that correct?
Yeah,
Thunderbolts. That she might be playing a character that is a Thunderbolts character.
Okay.
She and someone else. I have forgotten all the details.
but they were in the movie.
Yes.
Or, I mean, they're in the show.
They're in the show.
Mm-hmm. But.
Let's see if I can find it.
We don't know
who's playing who.
Yes. So the roles are not confirmed, but people were wondering if perhaps this means that we're going to get the Thunderbolts happening. Okay. It's Miki Ishikawa is the actress's name. And they're saying she could end up playing Jolt.
Who I've never heard of. But, like, I've already established that I haven't read lots of comics.
So,
and then I can't remember the ones I've read. So
she posted her lightning bolt tattoo on social media.
Well, that sure seems to say that she is
It's also said she liked a now deleted comment on this post, which said, "Can't wait to see you as Jolt." So she liked it, and then the comment was deleted. So either that means, like, wow, I wish I was playing Jolt, but really I'm playing a rando character who doesn't matter. Or it means, yes, I am playing Jolt, thank you. Oh, wait, this is a secret.
Yeah.
Delete.
Interesting.
So.
This is why screen capture things, people.
Yeah, exactly.
We need the receipts. yeah.
So that would be exciting if that happened.
I don't know who that is, it's exciting.
More like the Thunderbolt situation,
yes.
Not who this actor.
But everybody assumes that's coming in.
Yes,
right?
People just keep assuming that, yeah.
Yeah. I think Thunderbolts is one of those things that you keep seeing. Like, every time people do fake, like, phase whatevers, Thunderbolts is, like, one of the ones.
Oh, speaking of rumors, though, I totally forgot about this one.
Okay.
Even though I wrote about it. So, speaking of MCU adjacent rumors, Hulkling is rumored to be appearing in WandaVision. Because WandaVision is going to introduce S.W.O.R.D.
Okay.
And Monica Rambeau with S.W.O.R.D. And there's a casting call for a teenage Skrull, who is being hidden by S.W.O.R.D. under protection on Earth, which would be Hulkling. And that would be WandaVision. And also, other rumor is that Wiccan will be in WandaVision. Wiccan is Wanda's son, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
She created him.
Yeah.
So that would be exciting because that would be the gay character, the LGBT character that Kevin Feige was, you know, supposedly talking about. Maybe. Yes, I promise we'll have more LGBT things happening.
That's coming sooner than everybody assumed
I think
people were assuming it was something else, and it was like, no, it's not.
And he was
that.
Like, it's sooner than you think. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because Wiccan and Hulkling are like the OTP of Young Avengers.
Okay.
So not only that, but it also suggests that MCU is moving towards Young Avengers since they were supposed to have Kate Bishop in Hawkeye, which may never happen now. But but yeah. So, Bill and Teddy! Yay!
If he's her son, do we have to wonder how she has a robot baby?
Well,
or does she just make herself one?
She's magic and Vision is... robotness. So
I mean, he just himself. She just makes a baby and then is like, which, you know, that's fair. He raises a baby too.
But Vision is also like, when Wanda doesn't make the babies, Vision makes babies. So he's made his own little like robot virtual children.
They like children apparently.
They just really want babies. So they will make it one way or the other. So
when you're that powerful, you don't
need
biology.
Yeah. So like his most famous, you know, child is Viv, and then her most famous child is Wiccan.
All right.
Perhaps only child. I don't know about others. I just remember Wiccan.
Yeah. I think so. Well, that's one of the characters that, like, that we were talking about last week. Somebody did their audition up for.
Oh, yeah.
But there's two boys, I think.
Two boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that are being auditioned.
Well, there you go.
For two boys, children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and then one of them says something about their uncle, who, like, who the fuck else would be their uncle?
Mm-hmm.
Why, like, seriously, it would not make sense to do that show.
Oh,
not
have
Quicksilver come back. Last rumor is that the Enchantress is going to be in Loki, which honestly has been rumored since the minute Loki was announced.
It just sounds right.
Yeah, because, like,
it sounds correct.
Why, like, that's a character that they've already hinted at because, like, what, her sister is in that episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season
right.
one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, she exists in this universe somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Her sister
comes. Wasn't that a character in Suicide Squad?
It is. There's also a DC character called Enchantress. Yep.
They do that.
Okay.
They love
stealing from each other. I don't know That's if they fine. Are the same. I don't know if they're, like, the same kind of situation.
Because usually it's the characters are almost the same, but they don't actually have the same name.
Exactly.
Whereas this one, they actually have the same name.
Yeah. I think this is more of a Captain Marvel situation, right? Where the two characters are not actually similar, but they both have the same name.
Yeah, okay.
So, because I don't think you can do the other way around. If you make it similar and have the same name, then it's literally, like, copyright.
Yeah. That's so, like, that is my character.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and you can't read who, like, even, it doesn't even really matter who, Enchantress, that's
yeah.
not something you can be like, copyright the you name. Might. It's like,
yeah. That's very
every
generic.
Fairy tale.
It has like, an Enchantress.
Yeah, basically every fantasy story. So, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of a, yeah, it's probably going to happen. I saw something today where somebody was saying, you know, that they might revisit the Avengers time, like the original Avengers film, that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, that's where this Loki came from. So, yes, it would make sense. There's also all the rumors that Robert Downey Jr. is avoiding talking about Black Widow, by the way.
Oh, because he's in it?
Everybody's saying he's in it. And I'm like, I would really like
him to not be?
No, it's not that I don't want him to be. It just feels like as much as it doesn't make sense not to have somebody be in it. Like,
right.
And so it would make sense for him to be in it. At the same time, it's like, yeah, but then it negates, it's only, but at that point it will be a year since he died.
Mm-hmm.
So it does feel like if you're going to eventually have him come back in some way, at least give it some time so it feels real.
Right.
So, because it would be the same thing if Cap shows up. It's like, as much as I would love to see that, or, you know, I'm like, or even if he showed up in fucking the Winter Soldier, which he could, because he's still alive, by the way, because we talk about him like he's dead, but he's still alive. Mm-hmm. Although, the aging made no sense because he's not supposed to age, and they literally said that. They really just wanted to show him age.
Yeah.
Anyway, but at the same time, yeah, you shouldn't show him because you're acting like everybody thinks he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously told the world that he died.
Right.
And that was just the way they decided to deal with it. But, yeah, it's just, you don't want to have people too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm still holding out for the King the Conqueror storyline with Cap. Some point, I can hope someday.
Let it happen.
Anyway, all right, it is time.
Angela's time to shine.
Angela has to speak finally.
Yeah,
and tell us about the things.
Well, first is plug for we're recording this on Tuesday, on Thursday in 2 days, January 23rd, there is a 6-part Taiwanese show dropping on Netflix called The Ghost Bride, and I would not really care about this if it wasn't for the fact that Chris Wu is in it, not the lesser Chris Wu, I don't want to say lesser, but he's not the, like, more famous one, but I have loved him since I saw a drama a number of years ago that crashed and burned at the end. And since then, I have tried to watch any other dramas of his that I can find, and they have all also been bad.
Oh, so, no!
I've got my fingers crossed. The ones that Netflix produces, like, not just gets exclusive rights for, but appears to produce,
mm-hmm.
usually have not been too terrible.
No.
Like, they've been anywhere from fine to really good. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'll be happy with fine, like, really, for him. And I do think they produced this one because they've got, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, like, behind-the-scenes featurettes and stuff up on YouTube, on their, like, Netflix's official Asian drama channel.
That doesn't mean they do that for all of
Okay. Them. All right, well, then I don't know. I'm still sitting here. One thing I did want to say that I was happy about that they did is when, like, he is in one of these behind-the-scenes things, they actually use his real name. And not, like, the anglicized name that he picked, which I think is cool. Although, like, I do think a lot of Asian actors that take English names, it's not to try to make it America. I think it's because it's a lingua franca, basically. And it's like they are going to be really popular in all these other countries that have all these different languages. And so they just like, but still, I thought it was cool that Netflix was doing that. Like, rather than he's already got a name that he's been going by. I mean, that's the only name that I ever knew for him. That's always how he's credited in English anyway. But I just thought it was cool that like Netflix gave him his real name. But it's about, it's set in the 30s or the 20s? No, 30s or 40s. And it's about a woman, a young woman who is married off to a dead man to erase her family's debts. This is a thing. It's popped. It was in Hotel Del Luna. So I do think it was like a thing in Asian cultures sometimes. Like if you had a son who like died unwed, they would like have like a marriage. I'm not really sure what would then happen to the woman. Like would she just have to live as a widow? I mean, I don't think they like entombed her like with the pharaoh like they might have done back then. So I mean, if, as long as you get a decent dowry out of it, it's actually a pretty sweet setup. Like then you get to like
the guy to die, he's already gone.
So in this one she's like, you know, married off to the, or gonna be married, I'm not sure if the wedding takes place or not, when the action starts, gonna be married off to this guy to like ease her family's debt, but then like somehow she gets pulled into this. There's more conspiracies afoot. And, like, she's in and out of different realms because Chris Wu's character is, like, not, like, a reaper, but something like that, basically. Like, he's not, like, a normal human. He's, like,
supernatural being.
Some sort of supernatural being related to the death realms or whatever. So, like, I don't know. It looks good, and I just really want him to be the lead because it's not super clear. And I really want... But it looks good. It looks well-produced. The little clips that they had of like the special effects look really good, but I will report back because I'm probably going to binge all that. The 6 episodes makes me nervous. I don't know. I can't tell if that means that there'll be more, and I don't like that. I like to binge my traumas.
But say, like that might make it. That might mean it's that Netflix produced, because Netflix does love to be like, look at this full season that is 6 episodes and doesn't end. And in a year, you will see season 2 that is the ending of that.
Have we ever explained this to Valerie before? Netflix, so K-dramas are usually like 16 episodes or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And they film all at once. And they've been doing this with a couple of their original ones where they'll be like, they will invent seasons. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, here's season 1 of this drama. And I was like, I was arguing with John about it because I'm like, I watched my first love.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I waited until the whole thing was up. And I was like, at the end of episode 8, I was like, this drama was filmed together. This drama was all filmed as one. Like, this is very obvious to me. I've been watching these for 10 years. Like, and he was like, they could have, I was like, no, they did it. They filmed the whole thing together and Netflix like invented a second season.
Yeah.
And then, like, and the most annoying part of it is that they break it up before the story is done. And even like, the story wasn't even written to end there. Like, right. To have a stop there. Like, the story was not written to have a stop there. And then they sit on the other half. Mm-hmm. They just sit on it.
Yeah.
So for, like, for months. And it's like, what? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They love to throw that new episodes up. And I was like, then invest more money in shows that do that. Like, mm-hmm. Don't stop trying to buy shows that are a different format and fit them into, and force them into your format. Like,
I mean, they're fine, you know, getting the rights to shows that are airing currently and then putting up new episodes when there are new episodes. So
just do that. They didn't remember. They weren't doing that a year and a half ago.
Yeah, they just started doing that. But they did do that, not with K-dramas, but with other things like,
yes,
you know, Flash in other countries, right? They put it up and that morning, you know, like, here you go, new Flash episode. It's like, just do that with everything. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
It's stupid. Yeah. And it's fine when the, like, Kingdom is an example where they actually did only film the one season.
Yeah.
And then they went and filmed it. So that's fine. No complaints there. But, like, if a drama is filmed and produced the way the K-dramas are filmed and produced, don't invent seasons. That's stupid. Right. So, yeah, I don't know. Taiwanese dramas, though, are usually not this short. Like, they're not even usually 12 episodes short. They're usually longer. Mm-hmm. So I really don't know what's going on, and I'm just praying it's a miniseries and it's over. But I'm gonna watch it. He's so good. So that's Ghost Bride. Check it out. And then the other one, I watched my very first Thai drama ever. It's called Love by Chance. It was because I was in the mood to watch the new History, and then that was a trash fire of an end, apparently. So I went and found this Thai drama, and it was... So when I found it on my drama list, because people were recommending, they were like, did you want this? Yes. Okay. They were like, did you want this? And then watch these. And so I found it. And so, like, I'm glad I read the reviews on my drama list, because they're basically like, the main couple is great. The other ones are garbage. So just interested in those. And they're varying degrees of, and I did, I skipped all of it, but it was really cute. It was well done. It was fascinating because, like, so it's like freshman in college is the thing. And so everyone's gay, like everyone except for the one. There's a token straight boy. And he's over the top. Like, he's just like a total perv. He's like just constantly watching porn and like really over invested in other people's sex lives. But then he ends up being like the main couple is his like OTP. Like, he ships them like so hard. Like, he sees, because they go through their little denial period, you know, and he calls it like instantly. He's like, but he's always like really cool. It's funny because they set him up to be this really like toxic, like you just assume, like a character who behaves the way that he does in the first couple episodes, you assume he's going to be like really gross. But actually, like, he's still not overshares. He's overly nosy into their relationship, but like, he's like that with everybody, and he's like totally supportive, and he's like really mad when he finds like incriminating searches on his roommate's computer. He's like really mad his roommate didn't come to him for sex advice. He's like, really hurt. And he's like, I will buy, he's like, do you need this? He's like, I will buy these things for you if you're too embarrassed to do it. And then he gets a girlfriend, and like, she's a little perplexed that he doesn't pressure her more to get physical. And he has this whole scene where he's like, that's totally not cool. He's like, that's not what a relationship is. Like, that's not all a relationship is about. I'm like, sitting here like, what is happening?
I'm fine.
He was basically like, I think it's best when a woman, like, not respects her body in terms of a woman should remain chaste, but, like, a woman knows what she wants and respects herself if she's not ready. Like, he's like, I would never pressure you. I don't like people who do, guys who do that are, like, scum. I'm like, it was just, and it was, Thai dramas are so different from Korean drama. It's just so frank about all of that. Like, I've been watching too many K-dramas for too many years, and it's like, well, they don't care. So it was cute. So I kind of recommend it, except that, yeah, the other, don't pay attention to, like, any of the other couple. They're, like, in, so there's four. So you have your primary, secondary, tertiary, etc. And the trash fire of them increases as the importance of the couple decreases, basically.
To make the first couple look better, maybe?
Maybe.
No, apparently there's going to be a second season of this show focusing on the secondary one, because they're like, well, the secondary one, it was more just that, like, it had a sad ending.
Oh.
The one guy was like, well, I don't like you like that. And so the second season is going to be about that, but they can't get the one actor back of the main couple. So, like, for the second season, because, like, I guess they just haven't contacted him, and he's, like, busy. He's doing a Let's Fight Ghost Thai remake.
Oh! Okay.
I gotta watch the Thai Oh My Ghost now, and that's on Netflix. At least it's on my Netflix. So
yeah, it is.
And there's a couple other ones that I put in my queue, like Thai dramas that popped up on Netflix. But it was cute, and I was like, look at this non-toxic masculinity wrapped up in the like wrappings of very gross. That almost stood out to me the most about the whole thing. The couple is really funny, like. The main guy goes from like 0 to 60 immediately, but he's just like so. I think it works because they're 18, because he's basically just really touchy and physical with the other guy immediately, and he's like, it's just friends, but he doesn't touch any of his other friends like that. And all of his friends are like, but you don't touch any of us like that. And he's like, I cup my niece's hand or face in my hands.
Okay.
But they have a really like fun visual gags with it. Like, there's one scene where like. The one member of the main couple is getting like bullied, and the other guy like sees it from like far away. He's on his bike and he's riding on his bike with his roommate, like on the back of the bike, and he literally just hops off the bike, and the camera still, if you pay attention to the background, the bike falls over with the roommate like on it. Like,
oh, no.
He's like rushing over this guy immediately. It's cute. So they were cute. But yeah, it was interesting. I want to watch more Thai dramas now and start to get like.
I'll have to join you on the Thai drama. I've still only watched the one that I just forgot the name of that I recommended to begin with. The one with the girl who like doesn't have a name. She goes around to different schools and like enacts vengeance or like finds justice in those schools.
Oh, you talked about. I remember you talking about it though. Yeah.
There is an anthology, and then I watched the first episode of Oh My Ghost, and it was literally the Korean Oh My Ghost.
What? You know what? I watched a little bit of the.
Like, okay.
No, I watched a little bit of the final episode of that, and I was like, they are literally, literally everything, like down to. It got to the point. It was like the last scene. I was like, is this the same breed of dog? No, they changed the breed of the dog.
The Crash Page, yes. But speaking of Asian dramas on Netflix, I don't know if I've already talked to you guys about Crash Landing on You. I've definitely talked about you to you privately about Crash Landing on You. But I'm totally supporting everyone watching Crash Landing on You. Even you, someone who, you know, doesn't watch once. It's so funny, it's so romantic, it's so great. It's been 10 episodes, so there's 6 left, so I guess they could still mess it up. But so far it's excellent.
You're about to hit the paint. We were about to hit the pain if it were on episode 11 of this week.
They started the pain, and now we are already unraveling it. It's already less painful. So I'm like,
that means there was little pain. You still have episode.
Like, there's more coming, Tatiana.
It's not on episode 12 yet. The pain episode.
Episode 8 happened, and I was like, who do you think you are? Episode 12? Get out of here. But now I'm. but it's good again. So anyway, what it's about is. This fashion designer lady who has lots of issues with her family. Like, her family is, like, rich family, but, like, they basically, you know, she's, like, exonerated the family and had made her own way with her fashion company. Okay. But then her dad, it doesn't matter. Business stuff is happening. You don't care. But what happens is she gets into a paragliding accident, okay, and ends up in North Korea. So in South Korea. Now she's in North Korea. And she runs into Hyun Bin, who is a North Korean officer. And somehow, because I've only seen him in like 3 things. He's like super famous in Korea. I've only seen him in like 3 dramas, and he was a jackass in all of them. And I've always hated his character. I never liked his romances. I barely like his dramas, even though he's a good actor. But because he's always a jerk ass, you know, whatever. Yeah. But this is like, he's like the nicest North Korean officer that's like ever. Most respectful, like most like understanding and just like adorable North Korean you've ever met, I guess. And so he's basically hiding her in North Korea until they can find a way to get her out, to get her back to South Korea. Because if she's found out as being there from South Korea, they will, you know, question her.
She's a spy.
Exactly. Assume she's a spy, etc. And so what he does is basically tell everyone that she is his fiance, who is in Division 11, which is like the super secret spy division, like opposite, right? She's a North Korean spy going to South Korea to spy on them. And no one's allowed to ask about Division 11, so they can't double check if that's true or not, or like, so fake relationship, trope, wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, forbidden love, you know, done. Like, excellent. It's just really funny. And then, you know, eventually it's the reverse. Like, right now she's in North Korea. When she's South Korean, eventually he will be in, you know, South Korea when he's North Korean. So you get everything. All of it. Watch it.
So I was going to say, you finally get to, like, join the rest of us in enjoying Hyun Bin.
Because,
like, I mean, I agree with you. He's a jerk-ass most of the time. But, like, I saw a lot of his early roles, and so I liked him. And then I was like, Hyun Bin, stop it. Like, stop doing this. Stop being in dramas that I cannot watch. Like, why are you doing this to me?
So yeah, because at first I was not, because like when I saw that the pairing was, you know, her and Hyun Bin, Sun Ye Jin and Hyun Bin, I was like,
I know you were mad about Hyun Bin. I was like, just give it, like, just let him.
Now I'm like, oh, I love Hyun Bin. I've never said a bad word about him. I
I don't blame you for what you think, but like, he's just made some bad choices. Although not actually bad for him. A lot of the dramas have been very well rated. Not Jekyll Hyde Me. Jekyll Hyde Me was not good for him. But we don't talk about that drama.
All right, so there you go. That's my
your recommendation?
Yes, my recommendation.
I'm glad you crack ship the craft ship with me on Psychopath Diary.
Oh, yes.
What I want is some auteur director to like see this drama and be like, these two really have good chemistry. I'm going to write an actual movie about them being like serial killing boyfriends.
Yes.
So this drama is my love, my great K-drama love, Yoon Ji-yoon, and he witnesses a serial killer like doing his thing and then gets knocked on the head and gets amnesia and finds the serial killer's diary and thinks that it's him. Like, he thinks that he is the serial killer. So, it's really funny. But like, basically,
he's like the nicest person ever.
He's the sweetest, fluffiest, whatever. And, like, he's so good at turning. I've always said this. Like, Yoon Ji-yoon does dramas where he's silly, and he does dramas where he's serious. And, like, I would have loved to see that together. So, finally, we really get to see it together. But anyway, so now he has, unknowingly to him, has encountered the actual serial killer. And the actual serial killer thinks that Yoon Ji-yoon is another serial killer. Because Yoon Ji-yoon has these... He was addicted to, like, killer movies. Like, you know, bloody movies or whatever. And so he'll, like, start acting out a scene, effectively, from one of them. And, like, turn really dark and everything. And so the main serial killer sees this. And I've decided is in love with him now. So, this is such a crack ship. Because, like, I don't actually want... Like, I was like, I ship... if Yoon Ji-yoon was actually a serial killer with the main guy, because he's basically like, we're cut from the same cloth. He's more important to me. Like, he's there at the table with all his friends, and he's like brought this random guy, fluffy haired guy, to their fancy bar, and he's like, this man matters to me more than anyone else here. And I'm just like, if you don't actually give me a romance in this drama, I'm gonna do it myself.
Exactly.
He'll create it for you. But I was like, I want some director to see the two of them and be like, I'm going to make this as an actual movie. Mm-hmm. And then that will be the best.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So the one drops on Thursday.
Yes.
Yes. Ghost Bride.
Taiwanese Ghost Bride drops on Thursday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. On Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Psychopath Diary, just finished, is on Viki.
Yep.
Love by Chance.
You gotta go find Love by Chance.
You have to find it on the dark side. The dark side. Crash Landing on You is a little over halfway done, and it drops on Netflix every time there's an episode.
If you start watching now, it's a pain series. It'll be the pain episodes.
If you're on Viki and you just watch Psychopath Diary, then you should watch Hands of Tigers as well, which is a variety show about celebrities playing basketball. And my son is in it, and he is so adorable. And
is that on Viki?
What?
Is it on Viki?
Yeah, it's on Viki. Hands and Tigers. Okay. And Joy from Red Velvet is the team manager. So, there you go.
Fun.
I will see it.
You will see it. You will.
are playing basketball. Okay.
I just finished the CAs, which I was not at the entirety of the winter tour this time. Well, I'm never at the whole thing because, mm-hmm. like, I would die. I would want to die by the end of it because how does anybody do that?
I know. I'm always surprised by
that. I did 6 days of it this time and I was like, but why? did I see 6 days? Yeah. It's at NBC and almost all of the cable.
Oh, okay. Hey, you were there for quite a while.
Most of the cable and streaming. Yeah. And I tweeted, but, you know, there.
You tweeted so good.
I tried. Anyway, there's some good stuff coming up, although everybody makes the joke about how much stuff there is.
Oh my god, like, I know.
I don't think they really get that we can't watch all this.
Yeah. No one can! Yeah.
And the worst part is, like, we're also watching, like, foreign stuff, so we're like, no, you're only counting the American stuff, or the stuff that you make American is not really American. You know, like...
the English language stuff, basically.
The stuff you steal. I don't know how they expect us to do, because, like, at the same time, so HBO Max was there for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
They've talked about it, but, like, it's finally there. Apple TV Plus was there for the first time.
Oh, okay.
Peacock announced during it, but not like at during it, you know, their release date, which is later this year sometime. Anyway, and it's just like, how are we supposed to watch all this crap?
I know, it's so much. So much.
I don't know. I don't understand.
There's so many shows that like exist and are on like, you know, advanced seasons, and I'm like, what? You're a thing?
They keep coming up like with shows that I was like, oh, okay, what's this show? And I'm like, I didn't, this is like fifth season. What is this show? And how does anybody, nobody does. That's the point. Nobody watches everything.
Yeah. You
just cannot do it. Mostly the important stuff that like half the time comes out of it is actually the stuff that's not actually presenting there, but it's the news about things. Like, right. Confederate is officially not a thing anymore.
Oh, thank God.
Yay!
They've officially canceled.
The evil is defeated.
Yes. They actually realized that was the dumbest idea, and that is not happening. MODOK, which just actually sent a press release today with their casting, mm-hmm. We knew that they had done it, because somebody asked Hulu, their EP, or their CEO or whoever it was that was there, I can't remember, to talk about, you know, the Marvel landscape now that Disney Plus is a thing. And he really kind of tried to avoid most of the information as much as possible. He didn't tell us much.
Yeah.
But he said MODOK was great. And then he said he's seen 4 episodes of Hellstrom.
So Hellstrom is existing.
Hellstrom is a thing.
Wow.
I was convinced.
I thought it was just going to go away.
They had a pilot order, and I was like, well, that's all they're going to make.
Yeah.
But it's apparently a thing. Wow. Which I can only assume that they had the contract and they were forced to make it. And,
right.
Because I'm sure Feige doesn't want it. Because mm-hmm. Feige doesn't want anything that he didn't make.
Yeah.
At this point.
Right.
I'm sure. I mean, like, I'm sure MODOK, they don't care because it's an animated series. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure the live action. Yeah. Mm. I guess. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with it, though, because is it just going to be this one season? Is it going to keep going? Is it going to be now a new thing that's not actually part of the MCU? Or are they going to make it part of the... I don't know what's happening. I don't
know. It's kind of weird, because now it's just like one lonely, you know?
Yeah.
One is the loneliest number.
Because, I mean, we've still had one season of S.H.I.E.L.D. that's been filmed, right, but has not aired yet.
Right.
But now we all know that that's not actually part of the MCU, basically, anymore. Mm. So it doesn't actually matter that much. I'm just really surprised that that's actually happening.
Right.
Staying with Hulu, they actually did ask him too about Veronica Mars, because both Kristen Bell and Rob Thomas have talked about wanting to do more.
Mm.
But Hulu seemed done with it.
Well, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. They tried to get him to talk.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't want more Veronica Mars, right?
Everyone.
And dude was there. I can't remember his name. I'm terrible with names. And it wasn't on the list, which I'm like, I know he's important. He's like the CEO or something.
Oh.
Anyway. He's important. Anyway, but he basically just said that they thought that was a good place to end. And they were happy where, like, that story was done. And it was just like, nobody was happy with where that story ended.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the season yet because I found out what happened and I was like, do I want to watch this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just not good. And, yeah, it was, his response was such a non-answer. Mm-hmm. And you could tell everybody in the room was like, because they also asked about the fact that you're like, okay, so you decided to drop it at Comic-Con, so everybody had to either leave and go watch it or get spoiled, because people were walking around being like, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And spoiling it at the con. I had already found out what happened because another press friend told me.
Yeah.
But, so she spoiled me. But, yeah, it was like, no, it was a stupid idea. I can't imagine it got very many views that weekend.
That's what I have to imagine is that either it, like, got a lot of views from uh-huh. people that were not at the con, obviously, right?
Yeah.
And then the bad word of mouth means it didn't get more views after that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or, alternately, it didn't get many views because of the time that they dropped it, yeah. And then... still, bad word of mouth meant that people were not desperate to go watch.
Yeah. Because he did say that a lot of people watched the first 3 seasons mm-hmm. From it and the movie, because they have them, obviously. And yeah. So he said there were a lot of people who seemed to be new Veronica Mars fans that discovered it because mm-hmm. they put it on Hulu, but they're like, it's still there. That was basically what he said.
That's so funny. It's
just like, wow, you're useless.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
So yeah, it must just not have done what they wanted.
Yeah.
So.
It can't have, because, yeah. And you just have to assume that Veronica Mars is dead at this point. Because at this point, it's had too many second lives.
Yeah, why would you kill Logan if you wanted it to live?
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's saying, no, I want it to die.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell Ron Thomas was thinking.
There's yeah, agreed.
Was like, that was his vision. And, you know, and it was just like, yeah, but we all know that was a stupid vision.
Exactly.
Sometimes you just can't let the creator come back. Maybe that was the problem.
Yeah.
Somebody else should have done it.
Yeah.
But then everybody would have been pissed off if somebody else was doing it, not him.
What's kind of, kind of reminds me, now that we're on a Veronica Mars tangent, is that I recently read an interview with an actor who played Teddy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He does not act anymore,
obviously.
Yeah. And he actually originally auditioned for Logan.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it was Rob Thomas who wanted him to play. And then he was like, oh, okay. And he was like, I read him as, like, you know, he's bipolar. Like, maybe he's, like, bordering on autistic. Like, I read him. And Rob Thomas was like, yes, I love that. And then people did not love that. And then Rob Thomas was like, stop doing that. And I was like, oh.
Which one was Teddy?
Huh?
Which one was Teddy?
Teddy's the actor's name.
Duncan. Oh, Duncan. Yeah. Okay. I was like, I remember a Duncan.
Yeah, like, Teddy's the actor. And I was like, right. Something's wrong. Yeah, Duncan is the character. Teddy was the actor. Yeah.
We all disliked him so much.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't the actor's fault. No. But it was not. And then Rob Thomas killed Logan because everybody liked Logan.
Yeah.
And didn't like Duncan.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah.
Like, you did that to yourself, Rob Thomas.
No if one this show never, if this show never comes back, it's your own goddamn fault.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At a certain point, it's just maybe we are done. Mm. Maybe we just move on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, here we are, moving on.
Yeah. I had to watch, so I did five, and then I added three. I did 8 interviews for 6 different shows.
Okay.
Acorn, BritBox, and Facebook Watch / Blumhouse. And I was actually surprised because those are basically the only trainers I watched, because I was like, I got back from my trip, what, like 3 days into it?
Right.
So I already missed some of it anyway. And then I was basically just so behind that I just watched what I had to watch.
Right.
And I was actually really surprised, like, one of the shows that I did interviews for was called Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Okay.
And it's the show from an Irish gentleman, Brendan O'Carroll, who they started it as like a stage thing, and it went on, and he dresses in drag.
Okay.
And he plays Mrs. Brown. Mm-hmm. And his wife plays his daughter. And like almost everybody in the cast is his family. And they'd actually make more money from touring this thing than they do from the show. But the show keeps it in the zeitgeist kind of thing.
Okay.
But I had always seen it, and I was just like, this looks really stupid. Like, it's not that old. It's 8 years old, maybe, the show, the original show, something like that. I'd seen stuff for a minute, and I was like, oh, this just looks dumb. It doesn't look like my kind of humor. But I watched 2 episodes that they sent to prepare for the interview, and it was delightful.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really silly.
Aw.
It's so silly. And I then saw clips that I was like, okay, this can get really gross, because there's, like, a whole, they get really into sexual stuff, like, and they don't shy away from things, and it's just weird. But anyway, I don't know if I can watch all of it, but they also, like, because they're all family and friends, they break character a lot, and they actually leave that in sometimes. So, like, his grandson is playing his grandson, or her grandson, in the show, and, like, at one point, you know, like, call them granddad, and then they just start laughing, and then they have to. And he obviously, like, improvs a lot, Brendan O'Carroll, and has to get the, like, the other cast have to just keep going, or, like, you can tell, like, his wife, sometimes she just starts laughing. And it's just, it was just kind of nice, because it was just silly, and I was like, wow, after all these years of being like, no, I need my television to say something to me, I'm like, maybe I'm just done with that and I need a break.
Stop talking to me, television.
The world's too depressing.
Yeah.
I need something fun and lighthearted. So that was really sweet. Yeah. And then what else do I want? So I'm going to put interviews up after this for Vero. So we'll talk about that in a minute. There was a couple of shows for Acorn, which was Agatha Raisin, and what was the other one I did? Oh my god, I'm gonna forget. I'm a terrible person. Anyway,
Agatha Raisin,
which is another, like, they love their
mysteries.
They love their, although this is like a, it's a funny one.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's ridiculous. She was a PR person who retires and then becomes a PI, and it's just silly.
Mm.
Oh, I did a confession as well, by the way, for Brett Box, which is the new, basically, Broadchurch, only a short one, but it's actually based on a true crime.
Mm, oh, really?
Starring Martin Freeman. Where basically this woman goes missing, and then it's to find out what happened to her. The cop broke, like, rules and lost his entire career.
Shit.
Yeah, so it's a true story. It's very interesting. I only saw actually one episode of that, unfortunately. Blood, that's the other one from 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 Acorn, which is another, it's an Irish drama. Another mystery where, like, the first season was this, the daughter comes back because her mother has, who had, neuron disease, is that right? Okay.
Yes, yeah. I think so.
Anyway, she, died, and aww, the daughter basically thinks the father did it, mm-hmm, or is somehow involved in what happened, and it's this big murder mystery. And so the second season, the dad comes back after whatever happened is revealed. And there's another mystery. Basically, this family has a lot of, like, demons in its closet, it sounds like. And then I did, for Facebook Watch, I did 3 interviews for a show called Sacred Lies. It's on its second season. It wasn't...
And that's Facebook Watch.
Facebook Watch, okay, who have just canceled most of their brand new... their original television.
No!
So I don't know that there's going to be a third season of the show.
Right.
But it was interesting because apparently they're really involved on, like, the Facebook page. Like, that's basically why it got a second season.
Because
the first
sense.
Season
yeah.
is based on kind of sort of a fairy tale and a book. And the second season is based on a fairy tale called The Singing Bone. And like, true crime stories, but not, like, anything specific necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
That stars Juliette Lewis. It was really good, what I saw of it. There's only 10 episodes. They're 30 minutes each.
Oh, okay, that's not bad.
It starts in the end of February, I think mm-hmm. it is, so we'll put the interviews up then.
Okay.
But yeah, so those were, you know, interesting. And then, so Apple TV did their first panel on Sunday. They were the last ones. And I actually went home and immediately binged one of the shows that doesn't premiere for a month, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say anything about it. But it was called... Visible out on TV, and it's basically the history of LGBT representation on television.
Oh, wow.
And there's so much I didn't know. I didn't realize that, like, All in the Family had one of the first actual appearances of a gay character. And even there was
All
a trans
in the Family.
Yes.
Wow.
And there was even a trans character on it. I was like, wow, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was, you know, I've seen the show. Like, when I was a kid, I saw it. But I only really remember how mm-hmm. horrible Archie Bunker is. But, like, I never actually realized that that was the whole point.
Right.
That he's supposed to be the racist, horrible mm-hmm. person. But not because they're celebrating it, but because they're trying to make a point. mm-hmm. It's a Norman Lear show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, they talked about, there's a whole part on Harvey Milk and, like, it was really interesting. There was a lot I did not know. And I really liked it. I'm hopefully allowed to say that. It's 5 parts, about an hour each, I believe yeah. they were. All narrated by different people, all directed by different people. And, Ellen is obviously a huge part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Wilson Cruz and Wanda Sykes are both EPs on it.
Oh. So and what's they're talking again? About?
Visible, out on television.
Visible. Okay.
So it'll be on Apple TV starting on February. I think it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Oh, I think I've heard about it, but mm-hmm. I hadn't actually heard that much. Like you've told me more about it than I have previously heard.
Yeah, I think they just released the trailer that day. Mm-hmm. So there is a trailer now if you go look for it. And it's, I don't know, I really liked it. So hopefully I'm allowed to say that.
I don't know why you wouldn't be.
I didn't see anything that says there was an embargo.
Yeah. So okay. I thought you meant because you yourself are not gay. I was like, I think it's okay for you to say that.
No.
That makes sense. Yeah. I'm sure you're allowed to say you liked it from a critical standpoint.
They didn't take it away because they had, so Apple TV brought that, they brought the morning show, they had Defending Jacob, except that Chris Evans was there via satellite, not actually in the room with me. So sad. Anyway, what else did they have? They had Home Before Dark, and I don't remember your face. Little America, which just started. Mm-hmm. Which is the next one I want to watch. But yeah, I left that being like, I really want to watch this documentary. And I watched the entire thing that night. Wow. So the rest of it, Little America, because it started, those screeners are still available, but everything else they had, I had to have requested access before, which I obviously didn't.
Right.
And they expired that day. So they're all gone by the end of the day.
Oh, that sucks.
Because most of them aren't anywhere near premiering yet.
Right. So they're like,
Defending Jacob, somebody told me, they weren't even sure that those were locked, those episodes. Home Before Dark, they had the whole thing, but it doesn't premiere. I don't think they were in April. So they just took them off because they're not ready yet. So, yeah.
Makes sense.
Trying to think of what else I was excited about. Nat Geo made us cry, but in a good way, because they showed us, panda babies. Aww. And that was actually narrated by Michelle Yeoh.
Wow.
It was
hidden
China. Hidden Kingdom, something like that. And so there was just lots of pandas. I told AMC that because they showed us, oh my god, they showed us a clip from Seven Worlds, One Planet. Is that what it's called? It's already aired in the UK. It's a BBC co-production.
Oh.
It's going to be on BBC America. Mm-hmm. And they showed us this clip of this albatross that's apparently going extinct because they build their nests on the ground, but they have to build them up because it gets cold. But then if there's a storm, the babies fall out of the nest. The parents can recognize their nest. They cannot recognize their children.
What?
So the baby's there, but the albatross does not recognize its own child.
That's so sad.
So the baby has to get itself back into the nest or it's going to die.
What the hell?
Because it has to sit under its mom to be protected. And it does eventually get there. But I was fucking sobbing. I was AMC Networks, if you're going to make us cry, bring us tissues. And they were like, we will keep that in mind for next time. And I was like, please, please bring me tissues. If there's going to be baby animals, then it's sad. I have to have tissues.
That's so upsetting.
Yes.
Those poor babies. Oh, man.
Trying to think of what else news. I remember The Walking Dead, one of the spinoffs, is only going to be a 2-season thing. It's a closed, limited thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. That will be interesting. That's about all I got. No. Except that now I am going to bring you my interview. I have to get the names. Yes, for Vera, which I did ask them to give us a intro to the show, but I think it's the ninth season.
Wow.
It is. Yeah, it stars Brenda Bluffin as a no nonsense. She's the DCI for her area, which means she's DCI. So she's the detective chief inspector of her area, and she solves crimes. And it's nice because one of the things that I liked about it is that it's incidental that she's a woman.
Okay.
She's a woman in charge, and it is mostly men around her, but it doesn't really matter because she's so good at what she does that that's all that matters.
Okay.
Whereas a lot of, they are introducing more and more crime shows in the UK that are led by women because they love their crime drama, but it's almost always a big deal that it's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's that's part of the story.
Right.
So this was kind of nice that it's episodic. You don't really need to know anything about it.
Okay.
But,
it's just crime. It's Law and Order.
Yeah. If you like watching those kind of shows, which I mean, Law and Order is usually my go-to, like, I don't know what to watch. Hey, look, there's the Law and Order on. There you go. Yeah, and there's only 4 episodes per season.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, and then they're movie length, so it's like 90 minutes. It's on BritBox. It actually drops, this latest season drops on BritBox today.
Oh, hey, look at that.
We're recording this on the 21st. So
get to it.
So it is spread across multiple, like if you want to watch the whole thing, you can't just get BritBox. It's on Amazon Prime. It's on Netflix. Mm. It's on Acorn.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And like Acorn, I think has 3 seasons exclusive. I think this one is now BritBox exclusive. So,
okay.
But I did ask the EPs about that. So
that's in the interview. You will find out.
So here is my interview with EPs Kate Bartlett and Phil Hunter. Okay.
Yeah. I'm Kate Bartlett. I was the original exec producer on Vera when it started and developed the show.
I'm Phil Hunter. I'm the current exec producer, and I took over back in 2016 and from series 7 onwards.
Okay, and does one of you want to introduce us to who Vera is?
Say that again, sorry?
To who Vera is.
Introduce to who Vera is. For viewers that possibly haven't ever heard of her? Or just,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, just in case.
Okay, so Vera is a Northeast DCI who essentially kind of treads around the Northumberland countryside with a hat and a Mac, taking down everyone from organised crime to domestic crime, and with it comes a degree of analytical brilliance, whereby she will not stop until that case is solved. We have a 2-hour sort of self-contained episode whereby one hopes that we tell stories about really authentic characters with kind of a real kind of emotional heart at the centre of them, and you can rest assured that in Vera's hands, she will track down the bad guys, and by the end of the episode, you will know who has committed the crime, and she will have them incarcerated.
So we're here to talk about the tent series, which has just started in the UK,
just
I believe. And do we have a date for? Actually, I wasn't given a date for when it's gonna
so
be on BritBox.
So get it from the 21st, I think.
Okay.
Is the date?
I see you nodding in behind us. All right. So tent series, in a landscape where there's so much content to choose from, and viewers can be so fickle. What do you think it is about the series that keeps people invested and coming back year to year?
I think it has a lot to do with Brenda, actually. I think that's why they come back. I think you come back to shows you love because of the characters in them, and I think people love the character of Vera. So it's her. It's her, and it's the character, and it's you know, it's the stories, it's the landscape, it's all of those elements, but I think at the heart of it, it's her.
Brits especially seem, I mean, everybody in the world really, but Brits especially seem obsessed with crime drama. My parents are Welsh, so, or my in-laws are Welsh.
Okay, yes.
And so I see everything they watch pretty much is crime drama.
Right.
And it's amazing. What do you think it is that keeps us so enthralled and keeps bringing more and more shows to, I mean, we're here for at least 2 of them today.
I think it's the mystery element of it, actually. I think it is the sort of, you know, as we've said earlier, it's being an amateur detective in your armchair, isn't it? It's that. I think that's what people love, and it's there is a beginning, middle, and an end of the story, always, you know, and in these, because they're self-contained episodes, you get that in one hit. You haven't got to watch 22 episodes to find out who did it in the end. So, but I think that's the love, really, in the UK.
Yeah, and I think as a genre, it's sort of the eternally, you can sort of reinvigorate that kind of storytelling every week because it's a new crime, it's a whole new set of characters. So we have our core team, which is Vera and her sort of second in command, Kenny, who plays Aidan Healy in the show, and ultimately they're the returning, but all the other characters we meet are kind of a creation of the writers, and it's one of those situations where you allow people to kind of meet those characters, empathize with them, and I think I always feel like it's normal people in really exceptionally difficult circumstances, and I think often that's the sort of thing where you could imagine it's the person who lives next door, or someone who lives down the street, or you could even imagine yourself in a sort of difficult situation, and that's really accessible, I think, for viewers. So it kind of keeps them coming back, so it's not too heightened, it does feel authentic, and I think, you know, her leading the march at the top of that is really special.
So the series was originally based on the books by Anne Cleves, mm-hmm. but obviously there's only a few of those, and you've gone well beyond that. You talked already about how it's part of what brings viewers to it, mm-hmm. is being the armchair detective. And so what kind of challenge is it to make sure that you're giving that audience a challenge and not just revealing who it is 5 minutes in, making it hard for them, coming up with those stories every week when, again, there are so many shows like this out there, although obviously this is its own gem.
Yeah, I mean, the books were wonderful, and from those we took, you know, sort of an amazing group of characters, an amazing Anne writes books that are so atmospheric and so character driven, and those were the sort of the elements that we took into sort of doing original stories. So I think that was a huge part of starting to develop original stories for the show. Mm-hmm. Completely lost my train of thought.
It's easy to do.
Can you edit this?
I can. I will.
I think the thing as well is you suggest we've got 90 minutes of storytelling to kind of fill, and there's no doubt it's a murder mystery. So you have to go through those rounds of meeting characters who you know will at some stage get discounted as suspects, but you absolutely have to feel that they authentically could be the suspect. I talk a lot to the writers about saying, this isn't a kind of a raging red herring show. You can't kind of lead someone down a garden path and just go, oh no, it wasn't them. You've got to feel that within the constraints of those people's lives and what's happened to them, whether it's a part of their relationship web or whether it's to do with the businesses they run or whatever. You sort of feel like it would be a natural extension to a police investigation. This person has died. Where have they been? What's their timeline? And who do they know? Because ultimately that's the way the police do it. So we bring some level of authenticity to the way that Vera runs her investigations. So along the way, it feels like you've got to, people are lying to the police. They don't do that for the reasons of being murdered. We've got to give them another reason. But it has to feel like it's not just a lie to then sort of, you know, obscure who the real killer is. So the real kind of craftsmanship, I think, from the amazing writers that we have coming back to the show is the fact that they can give us a group of characters who feel, you know, they feel of a world and they feel like they're an authentic mix of people who kind of have collided with each other. And through that, you kind of manage to steer your way through a bunch of characters who could have done it but haven't. And then ultimately, the final twist is the, you know, Vera sussing out who it was.
A lot of work goes into the scripts, actually. I think out of all the shows we do, it's one of the most challenging shows we do because, you know, when you've done 40 episodes, you don't want to start repeating yourself, so you're always trying to find new stories, different emotional truths to those stories. So yeah, there's a lot of time spent crafting the scripts.
Is there a whiteboard somewhere where people are having to connect everything? Yeah.
It's a wall. It's a wall. It's not a board.
Post-it notes.
We have quite big storylining days when we kind of chart episodes through, but yeah, it's all part of the amazing craft that the writers bring to it.
So we're seeing an increase in the crime genre of female-led stories. Mm-hmm. One of the things I find refreshing about Vera is that it's almost inconsequential that she's a woman. Whereas most of the time you see it becomes but nobody takes her seriously because she's a woman. And like half the story is about that. So how important to you is that she's a woman, but it almost doesn't matter because she's capable? And
it was originally important that she was a woman because I felt when we were looking to develop a new crime series, I felt like it was a world dominated by men in terms of on our UK screens. There was the very iconic Jane Tennyson in Prime Suspect, but there weren't that many others. And so I very deliberately wanted to go around to try and find actually a more mature woman as well. I sort of thought that's what was slightly missing. Mm-hmm. But we weren't driven by her gender, but once you start telling the stories, it doesn't feel like that is a massive element of it. But I think she's you know, she's brilliant at what she does, which I think a lot of women are. So yeah. it's that, do you know what I mean, without having to make a big deal of like, oh my goodness, she's good at a job. That's amazing. She's a woman. It's just that. It's just, she is. That's, she is. She's great at her job and she is who she is.
You know, I think she represents kind of a, you know, a generation of incredibly strong women, you know, kind of post-war women who just had to get on and do it and ultimately, you know, hold families together, hold jobs down, do all the things that, you know, everyone's capable of. But she does it with such kind of, you know, strength of character and acumen, and, you know, she's a very analytical woman, and she kind of evolved her career in the police force at a time when it was absolutely a male-dominated world. So she had to fight through that discrimination and ultimately rise above it, because ultimately she knew that what she was working towards was the right thing. Now she's the boss and she's the best, so it's kind of paid off. But yeah, it doesn't have to be a majorly overly conscious thing in the show, but I think the fact that a woman of this age who's in there and actually leading an army to kind of take these bad guys down is just a fantastic thing to be seeing on screen.
Can you talk a little bit about how Northumberland and that area is almost its own character in the show, and developing that and choosing?
Well, it was all, I mean, it always, again, from the very beginning, you know, because it's just such an epic landscape. So it always started out as being like, this is a sort of, it's a character in the show. And I think the series has benefited enormously by, you know, when by the time we got to sort of series six, actually, with Phil coming on, and then it was like, oh, thank goodness, you know, because both you and Will grew up there and know the landscape and could then bring a whole new breadth of new locations to the show, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it is, as a county, well, Northumberland's pretty epic, but we reach a bit further than Northumberland now. But, you know, it was the best kept secret. Between Newcastle and the Scottish border, there's 110 miles of beaches and incredible Jurassic coastline, and the variety of landscape from the moors in kind of like towards County Durham versus the coastline is just phenomenal. So it's a real challenge for anybody coming to the show, because, as Kate says, our producer Will is from Hexham, so he's from the northeast. So I know we push the locations department and say, well, have you been to every single farm? Because I'm pretty sure we've seen this one before. Yeah. And you just have to, you know, the show deserves. We shoot 4 episodes a year, and repeat locations are not an option unless you can convince me that we won't recognise it again. Or the, you know, the some iconic places we go back to. But it forms part of it's certainly the backdrop and the landscape, and it gives you a sense of place. But people also talk about the fact that Vera as a character is almost kind of from the rock, you know, and she represents the landscape. I know very consciously, very early on, the costume designer, I think it was Sue Thompson at the time when we first started, went all those kind of autumnal colours, and the way they start putting Vera's costume together was, you know, all about the kind of the seasons up there and how kind of rich the colours are up there. So
yeah, it was very much to do with the elements and nature and those colours influencing the colours of the show. Mm-hmm. You know, which I think still goes today, actually. It's got that look that feels very at one with the landscape that it's set in.
Yeah. It gives it identity, yeah.
So in researching and preparing for the interview, I noticed that, at least here in the U.S., it's spread across several streaming services. I know Acorn boasts that they have 6 and 7 exclusive. Do you see that as a challenge because nobody can watch the whole thing, or do you think it's kind of a boon that because it's so episodic, maybe somebody will discover 6 or 7 they don't really need to start at the beginning?
I don't think you do need to start at the beginning, actually, because I think it's that there are not, there's the odd serial storyline that probably played more in the early series, actually. So I don't know who's got the very early ones, but do you know what I mean? There's the odd ones with so they have elements of the backstory of her father and things, but actually I think once you move beyond sort of probably series 3, actually, they're very much sort of individual stories. So I think it's exciting if people can find it in different in different platforms, you know. And it's great that it is now on BritBox, and it's, you know, it's part of that sort of best of British in the US. It's fantastic. It's very exciting.
Yeah, it sort of neighbours some great, amazing shows that we've all kind of grown up with and loved, you know, across the Atlantic. So it's the perfect home for it. I think it's what I've found people do who are new to the show and pick up a later series, what people tend to do is they start at the beginning again. They kind of they'll devour a series and then go, oh my goodness, there's all this.
There's more.
We have to go back. And the one thing that I'd encourage everyone to do is to go back to see those early episodes a lot, because you get very subtle and very nice a drip feed of sort of developing understanding of Vera as a character. We keep that at a very low level across the episodes, mm-hmm. but you do get an insight every now and again, a little glimpse into what her backstory might be. It's not essential, but it's nice to enjoy that again.
I like to always end, because our website is called With an Accent, and part of what we want to do is expose people to new foreign books, movies, television, sure. etc., that they may not have found before. So I always like to ask if there's something that you've that you don't think we might have been exposed to that we should be looking into. It can be television, it can be film, books, anything. It doesn't even have to be the UK.
Oh my gosh, that's quite a hard question to answer with Gemma. We Make Shetland, that's the other one of Anne Cleves.
Yes.
Books.
My parents are obsessed with that show.
That's good. It's very good. It's another one of ours. So, yeah. And I'm trying to think. I can't think of anything off the top of my
when
head.
When you say that, is it kind of looking for new locales or new sort of accents or dialect, or what is it you're
just something new that we may not have heard of that we should be looking out to watch, to read, anything like that.
And
we started our website because at the time Doctor Who wasn't even a thing in the US.
Okay.
And that was when we realized that, we were like, there's so much to the world now. Absolutely. Because streaming, it's a little bit, but there's still a lot out there.
Yeah, I did say Shetland is on BritBox. And Shetland is on BritBox too. Well, We Make Shetland is on BritBox, so that's another one. I would say Shetland. Tell people to watch Shetland. Yeah. And we've got her new book as well, but that's not, we're nowhere near going into production on that yet. But
okay.
That will be.
But it's coming.
It will be coming at some point, hopefully.
So we've got one thing we can watch now and something we can watch in the future.
You've got two things you can watch now, but yes.
Well, yes, of course. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
It was a really great meeting you.
So the one last thing I wanted to do before we stop, which we do need to stop, is so we talked about Cowboy Bebop was going to be our next nostalgia with an accent, right?
Yes.
Yep.
I see we set a deadline. We're going to try and watch that by the end of February.
Oh,
sometime
okay.
At the end of February. Unless everything goes to shit.
Mm-hmm. I have seen Cowboy Bebop. So.
I have never seen it.
Okay,
so I got to figure out how I'm going to see it. Where is it that I can watch
Hulu.
It?
Hulu.
It's on Hulu?
Sweet. It's on Hulu, and it's also on, so Hulu, I think, gives you the option to do subs or dubs.
Okay.
It's on AdultSwim.com, but that's dubs only.
I will say, this is the only time I will say this, yes. The only time you'll hear these words leave my mouth, I think the dub is better.
Oh, wow.
Only because the subs lose a lot of meaning, right?
Oh, okay.
The subs aren't very good.
Well, that'll make my life
therefore,
easier.
The dub will... They try harder to make it relevant.
Maybe when I rewatch it, I will rewatch the dubs because I saw subs first, so those are always ones that I've
heard. Because I'm a purist for subs, so like we did it recently. We did like a party watch of Cowboy Bebop, and we were starting with the subs, and then we're like, let's just try the dubs because these subs seem kind of lame. And we tried the dub, and I was like, this is so much better. I hate it. I hate this so much better.
Yeah,
but
I know.
If the subs, what it should be is that they should do subs of the dub is what they should do. You know, like leave it in Japanese and then just put the words of the English. That would be the best of both worlds.
Especially like, why wouldn't they? Why isn't the same translation? That's
exactly.
I'm watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine in German on Netflix, and I put the German subs and the German dubs. So I'm like, but I know enough German and they don't match.
Yeah.
Like, they are saying different things than what they're, like, significantly different. And I was like, why?
Exactly.
What?
It's very confusing. It's very confusing.
We should find somebody we can ask. Why do you do that?
Exactly.
I'm sure it's like, they can't put as many words down.
Yeah, it's probably, that's what it is. It's that they can't put as many words. Yeah, for sure.
It's gotta be. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So, our goal is to have that by the end of February.
All right.
Thank you for tuning in. As always, you can find more news, reviews, interviews, etc. on withanaccent.com. Follow us at withanaccent on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. At withanaccenttv on YouTube. And the podcast is at popalartcartpod at Facebook and Twitter. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey. Okay, what time?